We surely thank the Lord this evening that we're able to be here. Well, I have something on my heart this evening that I want to share with you. Been a lot of good visitations that we've enjoyed here from the Lord throughout this meeting. And I also echo what has already been said. I feel like the Lord has really given us a sweet spirit during this meeting. It's just been wonderful. And I really have appreciated that. And I want to thank each one. Perhaps there might be someone here that tonight that it's their first time to be here. And I want you to know we're glad you're here. We're a group of people that we're desperate to make heaven. We want to make it. We really do. And we're just humans. And we're so glad you're here. We want you also to make heaven also. Anything we can do to help one another, we just a band of happy pilgrims bound for our home above. And we want to go to heaven with everybody we can get to go with us. I think it's going to be worth it. I know it will be. We enjoy living here together. But I don't know what it's going to be like. Monarch's wonderful. I know probably, I'm sorry, I don't mean to be a spectacle. A number of people have mentioned to me that they notice how I enjoy the songs, and I do. These songs have a real deep meaning in my heart. What I have for us this evening, I'd like to think this evening about the thought of restoration. I think I'm going to go ahead and write it on the board. Kind of a strange subject, I suppose. And I suppose if there's somebody looking at that over the internet, you might be puzzled. It's a different subject for a Monarch meeting message. But remember, I've talked about restoration. I want to tell you a little bit about this old tractor. What I have written on there for those who may not be able to see or read tonight. An old Fordson tractor is what I have written up there. Here a while back, I was down in La Ronge, Louisiana. And I have an uncle that has an eye for old tractors. And I was out there, and I noticed this tractor he had underneath. He wanted me to see his old tractor. He's got more than one. But this one in particular was an old one. And he had it all painted up. But he began to tell me the story about this tractor. The tractor, he found it. He was driving down the road and he saw this rusty, abandoned tractor over in the corner of somebody's yard. You know, the story of that tractor didn't start out in the corner of somebody's yard. There was somebody at some point liked seeing that old tractor. It wasn't old then. It was brand new. I don't know, perhaps in 1927 or in that, I don't know exactly the year, but somewhere in that year, there may have been people still using some horses, and maybe a young man was tired of going behind the plow, and he said, I think I want to go buy me a tractor, and I've got some farming I want to do. And he may have been real proud of that, probably was, when he brought it home. His old tractor. Now he's old. Wasn't then. Brought it home, and he rode that thing, and today it would be really outdated today. But that tractor was really something in its day. But then as time went on, this working with equipment, they're going to have times that things begin to happen. Things begin to wear out. The new wears off. And it came to a point. At somehow, some point in the process of time, the tractor ended up in the corner of somebody's yard. Got disenchanted with it. Wasn't worth much now. I don't care. And when my uncle went by to ask about this tractor, he said, what about that old tractor over there? Would you sell it to me? Sure. They'd be happy to get rid of it. I'm reminded tonight, we have a God that's hunting around in some corners of people's yards. Oh, tonight I believe there might be some people that have been damaged. People that, whatever has happened in their life, they feel like they may be pushed aside. I'll let you fill in the blanks tonight, wherever you are. And the story that we have tonight is one of not human restoration, but one what God can do for life. My uncle took me out there to this tractor. And I looked it over and thought, that's quite something. Somebody really spent some time on that. My uncle did that. And he looked at me and said, would you like to hear it run? I said, yes. He went around there and he kind of adjusted a few little pit cocks, turned that thing a little bit, turned on the gas, turned that flywheel over a little bit. And then he grabbed a hold of the finger holes on it and he gave that thing a pull. And it started running. And I looked at my uncle. I listened to the tractor running, but I looked at his face. And he backed up with this look of extreme satisfaction on his face. Look what's happened. Did you know our Heavenly Father is looking for the opportunity to buy damaged goods tonight? And He has extreme joy that courses through His veins when He takes something like that and makes something out of it. And that's a picture I want to hold before you tonight, because I believe that God is still in the restoring business. Our God loves people. And I want to remind you in the book of John, the 3rd chapter, the 16th verse, I suppose every one of us could quote it, but it tells us about the love of our Heavenly Father. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever... And you tonight may feel like you're rusting over in the corner and maybe the messages all have passed you by. Maybe hope seems like it's not yours. But I want to tell you that verse didn't have a disclaimer in it. Your name's in there too. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever you would need to perish, but you could have eternal life. I would like to ask us to turn over to the book of Jeremiah. Let's us in a little bit to the heart of our Heavenly Father. 18th verse, 18th chapter of Jeremiah. We have here a prophet of the Lord. The Lord came to His messenger and said, I want you to go down to the potter's house. And He said, I want to show you something. And in doing so, the Lord wanted this messenger to learn the heart of God, His view of these people. Now, at this point, the children of Israel, there was so much backsliding. There was so much trouble amongst them. And God didn't want them to stay in that condition. Neither did He want them to feel like they were utterly hopeless. I want to tell you tonight, I don't know where you are, but I believe the Lord wants to talk to at least somebody here tonight. Perhaps you feel like that hope has run out. Perhaps you feel tonight that you've tried it so many times and failed, and the devil's telling you there's never a chance for me again. I want to tell you, don't listen to that voice, because the heart of God is different than that. He sent His messenger down there. In the very first part of the 18th chapter, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah from the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Arise, go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Jeremiah went down there. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that was made, that he made of clay, was marred in the potter's hand. Damaged. Probably, it's very possible that if you and I was dealing with something like that, we'd think, I don't think it's worth dealing with anymore. We'd just go ahead and cast it. That's not what the potter thought. And the Lord sent his servant down there because he wanted this servant to get the message and carry it to his people. Jeremiah was looking at that and saw all the vessel mar. And this is what else happened. It marred in the hand of the potter, so he made it again. Oh, let that sink into our hearts here tonight. You may feel like you're marred. You may feel like that things have happened too complicated in my life. I don't know how to undo the mess that's before me. I want to ask you to put yourself in the hand of God tonight. The potter is able to make you again. He hadn't given up. He's asking tonight for us just to come and yield ourselves into his hands. Oh, tonight I want to ask us to think about where we are. And if tonight there's somebody out here that you feel like you've been cast aside, perhaps the saints, you feel like they really don't care for you anymore. Maybe they walk right on by. You feel like I'm just over here in the corner of somebody's yard. And I'm crying silently, wishing somebody would notice me. I'm sorry if that's your case, but I'm here to give you some good news tonight. There's somebody who's noticed you. And he's coming by and said, I paid for you. Won't you come on home? Let me make you new. Yes, perhaps there may be some vessels here that's marred. But God doesn't say he's done. He's interested in having us give ourselves back to him. Let him mold. Let him shape again. He'll make you another vessel. A vessel to honor. Well, you say, brother, that's over in the Old Testament. Well, let's go over in the New. Let's go over here into Mark. The fifth chapter of Mark. We'll find a case here. And I don't know how this man got here in this condition, but we don't really even know his name except the Bible calls him Legion. I suppose if you and I walk by Legion, as normal men would walk by him, I suppose we would think that it's a pitiful case. And we may kind of give him a little bit of a wide berth. Perhaps more than likely, he didn't smell good, he didn't look good, he was offensive in almost every way. But I noticed that the ship that Jesus was riding in landed on his shore. You think that was by accident? It wasn't by accident. You see, the heart of our Savior so loves that He'll hunt us down where we are. Over in the corner, kind of cast aside. I don't know what all happened in this man's life. He was somebody's child. He played with the children. I don't know what happened from there, from that point to where he is now. But when Jesus got there, whatever had come into his life or he gave himself to, it brought him to a place of great captivity. The devil had just captivated him in every respect. And people loved him still. He had some friends. They had tried to help him. Oh, I'll tell you, when the devil gets a hold of our lives, he'll do all kinds of things. we will get to the place that we'll be so ashamed. And perhaps we even think that people don't care anymore. Maybe they're just passing. Maybe the devil's saying people don't love you anymore and they're just passing you by, when really sometimes we hardly know what else to do. Was give you a little pat. Love you, brother. But I want to encourage you. Help. I want to help you. Is there anything I can do? But we hardly sometimes know how to do. But I want to tell you, Jesus did know what to do. Here he was. People tried to help him. They tried to just to protect him, tried to bind him, to keep him from hurting himself. Power of those things. Sometimes drug addiction, folks, is terrible. People try to help. We try to help our loved ones sometimes, and the best we can do, they still seem to break from all that we try to do and still hurt themselves. And this man was made a public spectacle. You ever seen that happen? Sin has made people public spectacles. Not only undress them, they just make them look fools in front of everybody. Oh, God still loves. I want to tell you here tonight, I don't know where everybody, I don't know where almost anybody is here tonight. I don't know your conditions in your soul. I'm not able to read where you are here tonight. But if anybody is here tonight and you feel some strong holes, some addictions inside, I want you to know tonight you can bring that to the Lord. He's still the same today. This man was totally bound. Oh, God is still able to take addicted people, devil-possessed people. He's still able. There's power in the blood. There's power in Jesus Christ to set people free. There's still a lighthouse calling us to a place of victory. Oh, I want to tell you tonight, there's hope. There's restoration. There's change that God has offering to mankind here tonight. I want to tell you tonight, the devil will say that there's no hope, but the voice of the Lord says, come unto me. The devil will say, don't. The Lord says, please, come. This man, Legion, boat came his way. He came out there, 15th verse of the 5th chapter of Mark, after Jesus had dealt with this man, listen to this. And they came to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion. They saw him sitting and he was clothed and he was in his right mind. That story is not just a fond memory. I've seen it happen today. I know a young man, not so young anymore, but he's sitting in our midst tonight. I saw him when I had I couldn't hardly believe that man could ever have his right mind again. I saw him drug addicted. And I saw tonight, I'm not going to name him because I don't want to embarrass him, but he's in his right mind tonight. He's not a slave to that addiction anymore. It's not just a fond memory, folks. It happens yet today. We can give our heart. We can give ourselves. We can come with all that we're bound with and just give ourselves to the Lord. He's still in the delivering business. I wish I could say that in a way that hope would rise within the bosom of all of us. There is a God who still loves damaged people. Let's read another one. Over in John, the 8th chapter. In the 11th verse, we have the culmination of this incident. But I'm going to tell you some of the story that you'll find in this chapter. There was a woman caught in the very act of adultery. The penalty was to stone her. Cast her over in the corner. Get rid of her. She's worthless now. I don't know what circumstances brought her to this place in her life. I don't know what everything, but here she was. And they caught her. And they brought her to Jesus. Perhaps they thought they were going to use her as a tool to try to trap Jesus. But I want to tell you, that's the best place to bring anyone to Jesus. They came there thinking they had really caught her. And they had. But they all got caught. They came there that night or that day. And they brought her before Jesus. And they began to tell him, this is what the law of Moses were supposed to stone her. What are you going to do? We're going to put you on the spot here now. And Jesus looked at him. And I imagine, I don't know, it's very possible that his eyes of firm love looked at every one of them. Kindness. Looked maybe inside of them. And as he looked in their eyes, they began to shuffle their feet. And then he just stooped down and started writing. I don't know what he wrote. But whatever it was, each one of them felt something inside. Because I can just see them. The scripture really doesn't say, but if you give me liberty, I could just almost see them listening or looking at that and duck their head and just kind of sneak off. One after the other. Jesus got through writing. He stood up and he said, where's your accusers? She said, no man, Lord. I want to ask you this question. Why didn't she sneak off? All the others had. Nobody was holding her now. But perhaps the kind eyes that just looked at her. Maybe that held her there. The place of hope. There was somebody looked at her like she had never been looked at before. He says, where's your accusers? No man, Lord. And then he said to her, neither do I condemn thee. Look here in the 11th verse. She said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said to her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. What fantastic words to say to this woman who had been bound. That was liberating. That was freedom to her. And I imagine she could hardly take her feet to walk away. Oh, she heard words that were fantastic to somebody who had been bound. And oh, when I think of this story, one of the things I can only do is mourn for those who also knew that they had troubles. And they could have stayed there with her. Every one of those men could have stayed there and heard the Lord Jesus, as he looked in their face, said, neither do I condemn thee. I want to ask us tonight, don't walk away. Perhaps the Lord catches somebody here tonight. And we have a choice then. You can do it, he'll let us walk away. But no one needs to walk away here tonight. Wherever the Lord finds us here tonight, if we have a need in our soul, I want us, everyone, to know that we need not walk away. We can feel the kind, restoring force of our Heavenly Father who's interested in molding and shaping the vessel. Maybe afresh, anew, He wants to take us in our condition. Perhaps tonight there's some real damage in our heart. But God's interested in restoring. I want to mention another one. And I won't turn there. I'll tell you where it is. It's in John, the 20th chapter and 26th verse. We find here a story of a man who was right next to Jesus, walked with him. Thomas is his name. Thomas was in this condition that he was full of doubt. He'd seen the Lord die there, and they were coming and telling him that he's alive now. And he said, "Oh, I can't. I'm going to have to see him myself." I want to tell you tonight, the Lord's interested in reaching right into where we are. Where Thomas was full of doubt, and you may have some doubt tonight, wherever we are in our life's road, I want to tell you, Jesus loved Thomas. And he gave him a personal visit. And something I want to notice here in this story, that they were huddled together in this room, the disciples were. It appears like for fear of the Jews, they were huddled in here and had the doors all closed up. And it said, the doors being shut. But that's not what came first. It said, then came Jesus. I hope we get that. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut. They came to the place that they were afraid. They had shut their lives. It seemed like they were, "I'm afraid, I don't know what to do with what I got on hand." They were here huddled up, and then came Jesus. Oh, I want to tell you tonight, there is one, a lover of our souls. He's interested in finding us tonight where we stand. We might be all huddled up in a corner, not knowing what to do with ourselves, but Jesus is coming by tonight. You might have your heart's doors locked up tight, but I want to tell you tonight, Jesus is walking in. And he says, "Here I am. Feel of me. Test me out. I love you." You know what Thomas did? He couldn't stay on his feet anymore. He just humbled his heart. Oh, we are broken by a tremendous love tonight. There is a love that goes through our walls. There is a love that is interested in taking damaged and locked up people tonight, and bringing us to a place of wholeness, of life. He wants to heal our unbelief tonight. He wants to heal places that are damaged and set us on the road, not just of recovery, not just of restoration, of victory in our life, great hope. And yes, that includes recovery and restoration. And I want to address one other issue with us. There's many times, I remember when the Lord was dealing with me about getting saved, I felt in my mind that things were so, it was just so tangled. I didn't know how to pick up the wrongs. I didn't know how to get there. I just felt like, oh, I don't know. It's just too far. I don't know. I can't get back. And I thought, even if I did, I failed so many times. It'll just happen all over again. But there's another scripture that says, if any man's in Christ, he's not the same old man he used to be. Thank the Lord tonight. And I'm telling you here tonight, I want to testify to you here tonight, that I was one of those that felt like there was no way to get beyond where I was. But it was in 1978. I think it might last, don't you think? There's salvation that can keep us. That happened right over that other tabernacle. I can take you nearly to the spot. I can tell you right where the Lord met me. I can tell you where the Lord saved me. I can tell you where the Lord set me free. And I'm a new creature tonight because of that. I know some have said that we ought to testify and tell how the Lord can save from some of these terrible things. There's some things I don't even want to tell you, but I want to tell you tonight that God saves. He changes people. And I stand here before you tonight. If I told you some of the stories, I believe your jaw would draw open, would drop down, and you'd say, "You?" And I'll say, "No. That's the old man we're talking about. Because the one you're seeing here today is different." And I want to tell you tonight that can be your story. The devil might tell you that you can't break your addiction, this, that, you're just going to have to be a slave anymore. But I want to tell you tonight there is one who is an expert at turning people free. And I want to ask you tonight if the Lord is talking to your heart. You see, this story is not just about an old Fortune tractor. It's about salvation. It's about the Lord being able to take broken people, dead and cast aside, and giving them a new life in Christ Jesus. Pray for me.